Hey there, it's Michelle Norris. I'm host of a podcast called Your Mama's Kitchen. When I travel, I'm usually looking for a way to find a taste of home when I'm not at home. And one of the things I love to do when I am at home is entertain. And Airbnb allows me to do that. When I was in California recently, I rented a house that had a great kitchen. And when we were sitting around the table, we're all thinking, we're in someone else's house. Someone could be in all of our homes as well. If you have a home, but you're not always at home, you have an Airbnb. Your home might be worth more than you think. Find out how much at airbnb.com/host.
Hey, Dave.
Yeah, Randy.
Since we founded Bombas, we've always said our socks, underwear, and T-shirts are super soft. Any new ideas?
Maybe sublimely soft.
Or disgustingly cozy.
Wait, what?
I got it. Bombas. Absurdly comfortable essentials for yourself
and for those facing homelessness,
because one purchased equals one donated.
Wow, did we just write an ad?
Yes.
Bombas, big comfort for everyone. Go to bombas.com/ACAST and use code ACAST for 20% off your first purchase.
Hello.
Hello.
Left keys under the doormat for you when you arrived today.
Yeah, I did a thing where I didn't want people to know where your hiding place was under the doormat. So I kind of did this thing where I was pretending not to get the keys out and that I lived there. Like I was trying to be like, yeah, I'm just bending down.
Can you describe? Right, so it was like a shoelace thing.
And then sort of discreetly grabbing. And then, I did that because I was thinking of your safety.
Well, that's very kind. If anybody does want keys to our house, Sarah often leaves them in the front door. So that's
so does Tom. That's so funny. Yeah. I think get up in the morning and I open the door. Oh, why are the keys in the door?
It's when people knock on the door and let you know.
Oh, God,
I'm so gushingly grateful to them. I'm bowing and scraping in gratitude that they've chosen to do that and not come back in the middle of the night and rob me.
I know.
The reason I left keys was it had a nice bath.
I never even asked why she did that. It's because you're having a bath, were you?
Yeah, so basically I got in the bath. I'd run myself a bath.
Yeah.
And I thought, what I'm going to do is about 30 to 40 minutes before Annabelle arrives, going to have a lovely soak. And then I'll get out, put my talcum powder on, dry myself, all the stuff that you do after a bath. And I'll be all ready and get dressed and I'll be all ready and clean for her. And then my afternoon ran away with me and I ended up having a 3-minute bath.
Oh, a waste.
I know.
A waste.
Of water.
Oh, I'm sorry. Can we rewind slightly to the talcum powder? Was that a joke?
Yes.
Oh, thank God. Okay.
But I'd like to know, does anybody still use talcum powder in that way?
Yeah, I'd imagine one of those ones with the big fluffy puff thing. That would be quite nice.
Like when I was a kid, I was always putting talcum powder
on. Me
too.
I was covered in it.
It was part of the routine.
I know. I was so dusty.
Yeah. and now, unless I was getting into a wetsuit... Which I'm not, ever.
No, I can't imagine.
I can't imagine that I would ever be using it. So there was that. But I'm clean.
Good. That's good. That's one good thing.
I had a good scrub. It wasn't a relaxing soap, but it was a very rigorous scrub.
Great.
Yes. Now, I want to talk about something right at the top of the podcast here. And what I'm bringing this up as a consultation with the Drifters.
Okay.
Because I've noticed something. And I wanted to address it. Mm-hmm. And what I've noticed is this is episode 296.
Okay.
Which means we'll be going round the clock soon.
Yeah.
We've got a 00 coming.
Yeah, that's a biggie.
Episode 300. Now, I think, if I've done my sums right, the episode will go out on the week commencing the 19th of February.
Okay.
And what I wanted to know is there any appetite for a live show? I think it'd have to be in London.
Yeah. We did one up the north.
Up the north, yeah. It was great. It was one of my favourite things we've done. We went to Hebden Bridge.
So nice.
And it was wonderful. It was a fun show. Gavin Osborne on with us.
Yes.
Yeah, he's brilliant.
It's great. And Lynn Barron came on.
Yes, she did. Oh. Yeah, yeah. She travelled over from Chicago, especially. And it was wonderful. And it was in this village, Hebden Bridge, which is a phenomenal place. And what was great about it is lots of drifters made a weekend of it.
Mm-hmm.
So we'd be walking around the village and bumping into people.
Yes, yes, that was so nice.
And having awkward interactions because we're drifters. What yes. other types of interactions are we going to have?
Oh.
And that was lovely.
Yeah, yeah.
But I think we haven't got enough runway to do something like that again,
no.
a destination.
Yeah.
Also, I don't know if there's the appetite for it. You know, I don't know if there's the appetite for it is the honest truth. We're in a post-pandemic world.
Mm.
We're all getting older. We all like leaving the house less and less.
Yeah, yeah.
We all are on this podcast every week, either talking on it or listening to it or sending an email, talking about how we don't do very well with interacting with people.
Mm-hmm.
Is there an appetite for an Adrift live show?
So the question is, would you come if we did one in London?
Yeah, yeah. It would be in London and it'd be very contingent on finding a venue.
I might have somewhere, actually. Something's just come back into my mind.
Okay.
Yeah,
is it the Royal Albert Hall?
It is, yeah. No, it's Wembley. No.
Somewhere intimate, I'm thinking.
Yeah, yeah, very intimate. Yeah. Yeah,
yeah. I mean, we could just get people around here, really. How many people do you think we could comfortably sit in my attic?
Comfortably?
Yeah.
10.
Right. So then uncomfortably, because people are used to being uncomfortable when they go and watch something. Maybe 14?
Okay.
Yeah. But maybe not. So the public liability insurance.
Yeah.
It's a lot of things for people to trip over.
Yeah.
I'm always tripping over. So what I'm thinking is somewhere intimate. Possibly, and this is not set in stone, Sunday. What about Sunday afternoon, the 18th of February?
Okay.
I think on Sunday afternoon feels like a nice time for drifters, doesn't it?
Can I sing as like we are just discussing this now? We haven't talked about it before. Can I just quickly check them not doing anything on that day? I
mean, what would you be doing?
Well, exactly. I'm so unlikely, but I had better check. Because what if it turns out I'm getting married that day or something? Obviously, I'm not. Martin is in London. That's all right. That's fine.
Yeah, it's fine if Martin's in London. Yeah. That's okay. He can come
fine.
If he wants.
That's fine. Yeah, he can come.
Yeah, it's not a problem. Oops.
It's a good thing, really.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But if you're hearing that and thinking, no, that's a terrible day. We don't want to do it on a Sunday afternoon. What about doing it on the Monday evening, for example? We could look at that as well.
Okay. Yeah.
Does anybody really want to be doing anything on a Monday evening?
Mm.
I don't know. So what I'm asking you for is to email in or tweet us. Or could they go on the Facebook page? I always forget to look at the Facebook page.
Yeah, you can't do a poll anymore on it. I'd have done the poll otherwise.
But what I'm saying is, if there are these different ways that people get in touch with us, are you across them?
Yes, I could put up a post on the Facebook page and people could respond there. That might be nice and easy.
Okay.
I'll do that.
All right, and send in an email. Mm. But let's make it a conversation because what I don't want to do is announce a show and then nobody wants to come to it.
Yeah, that'd be really embarrassing.
Not least because we'd lose money.
That'd be the worst thing about
it. But also, we wouldn't be looking to fleece you or make money out of it. We'd just be looking to sort of cover costs, put on a nice show.
Non-profit.
Yeah. I mean...
slight profit.
Yeah. Per diems.
Per diems, yeah.
We need to eat something.
Expenses and stuff.
Yeah.
Tube fare, et cetera. Yeah.
So let us know.
Mm-mm.
I don't know.
Could we, just thinking now, could we also film it and put it out for the Patreons?
That's going to make them less likely to come to it, though, isn't it?
Sorry I said that.
The Patreons are going to be
thinking.
Just
say no, we're not filming it.
Oh, we could.
No, we're not going to film it.
Did we film the last one?
No.
It's hard to film a live event.
Yeah.
You'd have to get Tom to do it pro bono.
He doesn't like doing pro bono.
No, he doesn't,
yeah,
does
really
he?
Okay, for scratch that idea.
Yeah, but maybe there'd be something from the live show that was just for the Patreon supporters.
Yeah,
I don't know.
Yeah.
I don't know. But that's the idea.
Mm-hmm.
Do you fancy all us drifters getting in a room, not a big room, because I would rather play to a room that's full and then berate you for not getting your ticket quickly enough if you didn't come.
Yeah.
Then sit there looking at lots of empty seats and look at a stark reminder of the decline.
Yeah.
So that's what I'm thinking.
Okay, great.
Email address is hello@adriftpodcast.com Or we've got the Facebook page, which Annabelle's going to check the messages on there and do a post on there. And, you know, you can find me. I'm still, like, lurking around on Twitter.
Yeah.
X. It's called X.
You can message me on X.
In all the places, you know. Find me in the places, all the old familiar places. And I think we will get a steer on it. We'll be able to gauge whether there's any interest at all. And if it looks like there's some interest, then next week we can talk more about it and see if we can't find somewhere and give you something a bit more concrete.
Okay, great.
All right. But I will point out that we haven't even got a publication this week, so
if people doesn't bode well.
It doesn't bode well. No, it doesn't bode well. It really screams. I'm losing interest.
Yeah.
I'm still here, but I've lost interest in actually engaging with you people.
Mm-mm.
But maybe not. I think we'd have a nice time.
We'd definitely have a nice time.
Yeah. So let us know what you think, either on social media or email us hello@adriftpodcast.com. Well, no podications, but any stories, any contributions from drifters?
Should I tell you what I've noticed?
Yes.
It's this. So remember a few weeks ago, I like went off on one at the listeners about not sending in their stuff and I got quite annoyed.
Yes.
And that week, they sent in loads.
Mm-hmm.
Last week, I did a different thing where I kind of said, it just makes me really happy. Like I was appealing to a different side, trying a different thing. Nothing. I've already internalised that. I've already learned something from that. So thank you. Thank you for teaching me an important life lesson. Next week, I want more emails. Oh, I have got some. Thank you. Thank you for everyone who did someone in.
Maybe you should be a dominatrix.
Oh, do you think I could?
I don't know.
It's not really in my beta personality, is it?
Doesn't seem like it would be for you.
No. I'll think about it.
You do that, yeah. But we've got enough to be going on with.
Yeah, of course, yeah.
But the message here is you're making Annabelle angry.
Yeah, furious.
And she is going to go off at you next week. Yeah, you are going to be in big trouble.
Massive trouble. So watch out. This is from Charlie. Oh, that swimming pool story we had a few weeks ago, that has really triggered some memories, I've noticed. She says, the swimming pool story invoked a memory I wish I could suppress. A bit of background. I love swimming. I was one of those babies thrown in the water by their father, aged 3 months, thankfully with my mum in the pool to catch me if I didn't learn quick, and I swam like a fish for years. Adulthood brought with it the trials of disability and chronic illness, but I did still try to go swimming when I could. However, I am, as a boyfriend so kindly put it, vertically challenged and horizontally approved, read short and fat, and rather unfit. The last time I swam was shortly before the pandemic. I had been absent from the pool for some months due to my health, so got rather hot and fluttered after my half a kilometre swim. I was doing rather a good impression of a very red blob as I surfaced and headed for the disabled changing room, waddling along with my walking stick. Now, the changing room was okay in theory, wet room shower, grab rails, adult changing bed, etc., but often needed rather more maintenance than it got. As I was so very warm and it was summer, I had a cold shower. But as I was hurriedly getting dressed, I could faintly hear an alarm going off somewhere. I hurried myself a bit more, waddled out and went to leave and was accosted on my way out. "Were you using the disabled changing room?" they asked. "Yes," I say. "Were you smoking in there? Or having a very hot shower?" "No." "Well, the sensors were triggered either by smoke or steam, and it's automatically called the fire brigade." My cold shower and overexerted body combination had caused so much steam that a fire engine was called. Key to me probably turning back to my previous shade of red, confirming again that it was not my fault, and having to walk past said fire appliance complete with firefighters, apologising profusely as I go before I could get to my van and quietly die inside. I haven't been back since, not just there, but to any pool.
I think drifters and the emergency services
yes,
is a good combination.
Isn't it? Yeah, any more on that would be great.
Yeah, definitely. Also, I think it's slightly unfair that, okay, I think you're breaking the rule if you're smoking in the shower.
Mm.
Is there a rule about having the shower turned up too hot?
Well, I guess if it's so steamy that the fire brigade come.
But the shower shouldn't be able to go that hot. That's not your problem.
I agree with you.
Yeah.
I totally agree. Okay, let's go on.
But I love... So it's light, it's almost volcanic, the cold water touching your skin.
Your hot body.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Like being in a hot spring.
Sizzling, yeah. Yes. Moraine says, I was temporarily without a car. And so the best solution...
I didn't mean hot springs. I meant sauna.
Oh, okay.
It's more like when you pull the water on the coals of a sauna.
Yes, yes, yeah. Yes, yes.
Just what it's been, just in case people are thinking, what does he mean, hot springs?
What's he talking about?
Yeah.
I was temporarily without a car.
Who is this?
Moraine.
Oh, right.
And so the best solution for the weekly big shop was to get a delivery. So I book a delivery slot for a Tuesday evening. Tuesday rolls around. I've stayed late in work to finish off a few bits before jumping on the bus home, get off at my stop, pulling my coat, hat and scarf around me to keep me from the cold and head for home. I turn into my road and what do I see but the Tesco delivery van pulling up outside my house. I had completely forgotten. The panic starts. The delivery driver is going to ring the doorbell as I'm walking up to the door behind him. We'll have to have some banter at it. What would I say? The thought is excruciating. But as I get to outside my house, I see the driver get out of the van and stand on the far side of the van with the van between him and the footpath and starts looking at a piece of paper. This is my chance. I manage to slip spy-like past the van and into my front door without the delivery driver seeing me. Success! The doorbell rings and I even wait a minute before answering to give the impression that I'm busy doing things and not right behind the door waiting for this. Hello, I say brightly as I open the door. The driver looks a bit perplexed, but people often do that when I talk, so I ignore that. Thanks to Annabelle, I know exactly what to do in this situation. Is it okay if I take the crates into the kitchen to unload them? Yeah, no worries, says the driver, still a bit wary. We finish the exchange of groceries and crates, and as I'm thanking the driver and about to close the door, he finally smiles. Bit cold today, isn't it? Oh, yes, I agree. Glad to have reached some safe territory. But sure, the evenings will be getting longer now. I babble on and finally close the door. As I turn around, I catch myself in the hall mirror. I'm still wearing my coat, hat and scarf. Like this is what I just wear when I'm in my house. I'm probably going on this delivery driver's list of vulnerable old dears. Or maybe I'll put a star beside my name and the driver they like the least will be made to deliver to my house next time. Oh, well. I guess I'll just walk to the shops from now on.
I hope they do have a list of vulnerable old dears and it's called that.
Yeah, I hope it's called that too.
Yeah. Please join in with us. Delivery interactions. Interactions with the emergency services and just drifting through life.
We've not had anything yet on OAP drifters. Drifters in the family.
Oh, yeah.
Your elderly relative drifters. I wanted something on that. Yeah. Not yet.
Have you done your family tree and found evidence of a drifter in there? Yeah. A historical drifter.
Oh, that'd be good.
Yeah. The email address is hello@adriftpodcast.com. What are you thinking for your Substack this week, Annabelle?
Oh, I know what it's going to be. It's going to be about why I hate surprises. You do or you don't like a surprise. I think you do and you don't like a surprise. Am I right?
Yeah, I think that's exactly right. Yeah. I think I want the exact right surprise.
Yeah.
What I don't want is any kind of surprise party.
Well, your ex-girlfriend used to give you a surprise birthday party every single year.
And also when I was younger, I was a bit more open to that kind of thing. But
yes. I often thought, like, does he not really think of, because it was every year I thought, will this be the year where he thinks, oh yeah, I'm going to have it.
She was very devious in the way she would plan them because she was somebody with a real sense of occasion. But a part of me would think, oh God, I really hope I don't have to have a surprise party this year. Because it's just the effort of being surprised. Like, I feel that what you have to summon at the moment of being surprised, it's so much effort and exertion that I just then want to go to bed.
It can be exhausting.
Yeah, the moment of the surprise. It's too big for me.
Yes, yes.
I don't like a big moment.
There's a lot going on. So part of this is I had a surprise party once. So I'll be writing about that in my Substack and all the thoughts that were going through my mind in that moment. It's that moment when you realise it's a surprise and I find it really hard. It's like I've got faulty gears and I find it really hard to go into the gear required.
Yes, yes.
It's very difficult for me to adapt to something new.
Yes.
So yes, and I'm going to be talking about that. And I've been reading up and stuff about the brain and stuff. Yeah, I'm like a neuroscientist. So there's a bit of that in it as well. AnnabellePort.substack.com.
All right, do we have another way in which you are not a fully functioning adult?
Yeah, I'm going to start with two questions. First one is, how long do you think it's acceptable to live with a leaking dishwasher? And what's the longest you think anybody has ever lived with a leaking dishwasher?
Okay, and I need to know about the size of the leak is significant.
Okay, so I mean, I am talking about myself, obviously. Mm. And so what I do is I put a tea towel down, and by the time, don't look at me like that, by the time the cycle is finished, I would just
describe it as sodden.
I was going to say sopping. It needs to go on the radiator. Sometimes it's better than others. Sometimes it's like the dog's done a wee on it. Sometimes it's sopping.
So best case scenario is the wee scenario.
Worst case scenario is sopping.
Yeah.
How long do you think is acceptable to live like that?
Well, there are a lot of factors, aren't there?
Mm-hmm.
But I could, you know, I could... You let stuff slide, don't you?
This is the thing.
You're either a person who lets stuff slide or you're not.
And I am.
I am too, yeah. But my wife isn't.
Oh.
But that being said, we've got a dishwasher that is supposed to be, you know, you either have them where they're shiny and they you can see that it's a dishwasher, or you have them where it's supposed to be part of your unit.
Yes, yeah.
We have it as part of our units, mm-hmm. and we switched dishwashers definitely pre-pandemic.
Mm-hmm.
It might have been 2-3 years pre-pandemic.
Yeah.
Like we've lived here 10 years, mm-hmm. and there is a piece of wood that has been painted waiting for someone to come round and attach it to the dishwasher.
Oh, you've actually got the door, but it just hasn't been put on yet.
Yeah.
I mean, this sounds very much my territory.
Having to put down a wet rag, put down a rag that then becomes sopping wet or wee-wee wet. I don't think I could see a year out of that.
Okay. Okay.
I think if maybe I'd do so. Depends how annoyed I get. Because I can just not notice things for a long, long time. So the other day, I heard Sarah say to her friend who was around in the kitchen that all our red and white wine glasses were broken.
Oh.
Like, and now we've got a drink out of... I think it's because she's rubbish at loading the dishwasher.
Right.
But so now if she has wine, she has to drink it out of a champagne flute.
Right, right.
And I was really livid about that has been let slide in that way.
Okay.
And straight away I went and ordered new wine glasses, even though I don't drink wine.
Okay.
Because to me that is a depressing decline.
It's also a much easier solution than having to like find someone to come.
Yes. This is the thing, isn't it? So that bathroom up here, we've got a bathroom in the attic up here.
Mm.
It has an intermittent, terrible smell.
Yeah,
so sometimes it doesn't smell. Mm. Sometimes it smells a bit bad. Sometimes it's one of the worst things you've ever smelled. And it's not the smell you're thinking of.
No.
It's really its own thing.
It really is, yeah.
And that has been like that pretty much since we moved in.
Oh, right, 10 years, yeah. Yeah.
But the amount of money that it would cost to fix it is because I think, oh, they're going to have to smash a wall and is thousands of pounds.
I feel ill just thinking about it.
And it doesn't feel like a fun thing to spend thousands of pounds on, even if I had thousands of pounds.
No.
So the dishwasher leaking, that does feel... Here's the thing. I feel like you could watch a YouTube video and fix that.
I've tried.
Okay.
Yeah, I have tried.
Then I think... What I don't think is that's not one of those plumbing things that's going to spiral out of control.
Right.
We
right.
have stuff like that
that's
happen.
The thing, yeah.
It's like a visit from a plumber and possibly a part, but not an expensive one. I'm very certain of this, aren't I?
Yeah, you seem to know a lot. Yeah. Very impressed.
Maybe I wouldn't live 6 months with it.
Well, I'd say that I'm coming up to a year now.
Okay.
And it's got to the stage where it's got its own special allotted tea towel. It's the dishwasher leak tea towel now.
That's nice.
And I do worry that it's going to feel...
Can we put a picture of that on social media?
Oh,
if we did a live show, you should maybe bring it with you.
It's very unattractive. Yeah, I'm sure. I do worry that the dishwasher, when it's fixed, this tea towel is certainly not going to go back into regular circulation because it's spent too much of its life on the floor. I can't get that taint out of my head.
But it's been washed.
Yeah.
Isn't like every time you wash it, it's a reboot.
No, for me, it's tainted.
No, but I know it isn't. It is tainted, but it shouldn't be.
It shouldn't be. I know it's wrong, but So I thought what I'll do is I'll save it for when the washing machine starts to leak and continue to do for several years. Now, I have to confess that is not the only issue with the dishwasher. Sometime in the last 6 to 8 months, it started moving itself forward.
And I'm trying to escape.
That's what I think. I'm very confused as to how it's happened, because it's like a built-in. It's a, what do you call
integrated.
It?
Integrated.
It's an integrated dishwasher. And it's like it's become sentient and it's very gradually trying to leave and find a house where somebody will fix it. So it's kind of edging itself forward somehow. And there is a consequence to this. Do you know what I mean when I say kickboard?
Yes, I do.
It's that plank of wood that covers up the bit between the bottom of the base unit cupboards and the floor.
Yeah, it's bigger than a skirting board.
Yes. I'm not sure why it's called kickboards. You know, who's kicking them? Suggests that kitchen manufacturers think everyone has no depth perception. They're always just walking into their base cupboards and kicking them. I've never kicked a kickboard. One thing I will say about them, never, ever look behind them. Ever. As having caught a glimpse, which I very quickly looked away from, I think that hell lies beneath my cupboards. Like the hell isn't full of fire, but some unspeakable brown stuff. I'm full of fear that when I die, my soul will leave my body and it will sort of subtly, gently drift upwards. And then St. Peter, whoever, will appear and say, ah, back down. Your soul is going right behind there, and points to my kitchen kickboards. Anyway, I was moving on to the consequence of the dishwasher, which is edged forwards, which is that you can't fully open the dishwasher door without making it make the kickboard drop down.
Right.
The door catches on it and forces it down, which obviously is horrendous for me. I had to put it back up with my eyes closed. So I've developed a technique where when I open the dishwasher door, I place my foot at the same time on the kickboard and then force the dishwasher door down over it. Now, I'll be honest, it is causing some wear and tear issues with the dishwasher door, but this is preferable to the kickboard being down. One huge difference between me and Tom, and there are many, if the kickboard falls down when he's in the kitchen and cooking, he just carries on cooking with it down and in the way and releasing all those tortured souls.
Yeah, I would do that.
Oh, I find this very, 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 very hard to cope with. I do wonder how normal all of this is. Like, it's probably not very normal at all. And it did make me think, you know how we have a census in the UK every 10 years that covers stuff like ethnicity, sexual orientation and religion? How about we have another one where it's a normal census to find out what behaviour is the norm? It'd be like the questions, something like,
yes,
do you have your TV volume on an even number? Do you have to have it like that? Do you have to buy the first avocado you pick up, even if it's not ripe, because you don't want to hurt its feelings? And how long could you last with a leaking dishwasher? This would be so much more interesting.
There's never been a faster or easier way to start your weight loss journey than with PlushCare. PlushCare accepts most insurance plans and gives you online access to board-certified physicians who can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Take charge of your health and speak with a board-certified physician about a weight loss plan that's right for you. Get started today at PlushCare.com/weightloss. That's PlushCare.com/weightloss. PlushCare.com/weightloss.
Now, you did me a great kindness last week, Annabelle.
Mm.
You came and picked me up from a procedure.
Oh, yeah, you had to go to hospital, didn't you?
I did, yes. You may remember. I'm talking to them, not you.
Mm.
You may remember that I was in a terrible bike accident where all of a sudden a lamppost appeared out of nowhere and I cycled into it at speed and broke bits of my hand and finger. And this has been rumbling on now. I had surgery and then I had to go for another procedure the other day where basically they put me under... They couldn't make their mind up whether it's going to be a general anaesthetic or very heavy sedation and then manipulated it. Basically forced it into positions it won't go in of its own volition, or I can't force it into because I'm too sensitive.
Okay.
I've got too low a pain threshold. So that's what I was going and having done. And you're not allowed. They're really insistent that someone comes and picks you up from the hospital.
Yes, I know. Yeah. They're very insistent. You're supposed to stay with them as well, aren't you? Not supposed to be on your own and stuff.
Yes.
Mm.
Yes. It's weird because they were really insistent that somebody would come and pick me up, but they wouldn't give me even a vague window of time in which that might happen.
Yeah, slightly inconvenient.
Yes.
Yeah.
Well, my friend has got a kid and a life.
Well,
and
sort of. I've definitely got a kid.
Yeah, maybe if I could just give her a 2-hour window.
Yeah.
So anyway, so I went to hospital on my own, like a big boy.
Mm, well done.
And I had to get there really early in the morning. I had to get there before 7. So it's still dark and I didn't really know where I was going. It was this whole thing. And I got there and they said, oh, we've got a bed ready for you. And they gave me one of those nice robes to change into and some frilly knickers. Not frilly like saucy lingerie. I mean, right. You know the ones. I mean, like a hairnet.
Yeah.
I'm not convinced that it's not just a hairnet with holes in it.
Same company sending them out in two different directions.
Yeah, because usually you can tell what's the front and what's the back.
Mm.
Not with these things.
Mm.
Anyways, so I put that butt on, put my gown on, which I can never tie at that. How people are able to tie...
Oh, behind them.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's difficult.
Really. But I get it all on and then I lie on the bed. And because I'm not used to being up at that time of day, because I am a glassback who likes to lie in, I fall back asleep again.
Oh, that's nice.
Waiting for the anaesthetist to come around and have a chat to me. Now, eventually this happens. But while I've been asleep, a physical change occurs in my body.
Oh, good God.
Which...
Let me just look away.
I think often happens to men.
Yeah.
I mean, not all men of my age. I don't like to boast. often happens to men at that time of day.
Right.
You know, your usual waking time.
Mm.
So I'm woken up by this anaesthetist, a handsome young man.
Oh.
And it's not like being in your own bed where you've got a duvet over you.
Right.
I'm wearing one of those gowns and then they've given me a sheet.
Oh,
it's not even a blanket, it's a sheet.
Oh, God, this is awful.
And I have to have a conversation about whether I want general or I want sedating, what we think is going to work best. But I'm very aware that this matter has arisen.
Mm.
And what I've got no idea is he aware? Now, having just bragged about my abilities to function in that way, you know, I wouldn't be so boastful about him noticing being an inevitability.
Okay.
I think it could easily go unnoticed.
Okay. Did you notice any glances? Did he glance in that direction?
No, but I think I was trying to avoid eye contact.
Oh, God.
I wish I got a puppet with me that I could just, like, distract him with or something.
Why didn't you think to bring that in with you?
Yeah. How common do you think that is? Must be very common, right?
I don't know. How many people are falling asleep before an operation? I don't know.
But what else are you going to do?
I was sort of impressed by that.
I can fall asleep anyway. It's one of my superpowers.
Yeah, I don't have that power.
Apart from when my anxiety is flaring.
Right.
But it wasn't.
Few times I had a medical procedure and I had to go under anaesthetic. I had to be in hospital.
You had the same thing?
No. Less visible.
Right.
No, I had to be there very, very early. And this is like before children. So like I had to be there at like 6 or something. So that just felt like I had to get up at 4:30, felt like, you know, middle of the night. I was very, very tired. And there was no way I was falling back asleep again. From about 9 o'clock onwards, there was a succession of people coming in the room asking me exactly the same questions from a list, like sort of 10 questions from a list. And by the fourth person, I was thinking, you've already asked me this like 4 times. I have to go this again. And then the anaesthetist came in and started asking me exactly the same questions again, to which I finally said, I have actually already answered these. And he angrily said, well, I'm the only one that matters, so you have to answer them to me.
Well, I'm
and
on
I
his
thought,
side.
I thought, oh, my God, I've annoyed the anaesthetist.
I can't believe those angels who we all stood out and clapped for.
Don't.
You're giving them short shrift.
Can I tell you, I said it nicely. I said, I thought I was saving him time. Like, I've already,
I see.
In case you want to refer to my folder where there are 5 different copies of these same like answers.
Mm.
It was so bad. And then when I went under, I thought, oh, he's probably going to kill me. Or, you know, write something silly on my leg or something.
I did a nice arrow drawn on my arm.
Oh, did you?
Yeah.
Not as a joke. They needed to.
To show it. No, just to show which arm it was.
Oh, in case they did the wrong one.
Yes. Which I'm surprised that is a possibility.
Yeah.
But, you know, it's good to belt and braces these
careful.
Things, isn't it?
Yeah.
And this time, the last time I had anaesthetic or sedation, I was allowed to pick a song to drift off to.
Oh, lovely.
But not this time. I was quite disappointed.
Oh, I'd certainly never been asked that. No. That's lovely. Very civilised. Would you remember what song you picked?
I do.
What was it?
I picked Blackbird by the Beatles.
I knew you were going to say that.
Yeah.
Maybe you told me before.
Yeah, but I didn't get that option this time.
What do they do, count backwards?
They didn't. Do you know, I've got very, because I'm a real wuss about having a needle in. So I would have been acting up about the needle. In a self-effacing way. It wouldn't have been difficult. I'm really sorry. I'm very needle phobic. I'm very anxious. I'm going to have to do my breathing. I'm going to have to. And then once it, whatever it was, started, because I'm very easily sedated, is the truth about me.
Okay.
I'm not very easily stimulated. So if I have a lot of coffee, it almost has no effect on me.
Right.
But if I have something even slightly sedative, it knocks me out.
Well, let me tell you, whatever you went through, however bad it was nowhere near the devastation I felt when I came to pick you up and discover that you were completely compos mentis and you weren't all kind of woozy and saying weird stuff. Oh, God, I was so disappointed.
I'm so sorry. Oh. I really hoped you would have that experience of me saying weird things as I came around from the sedation, but sadly not. Maybe next time.
Yeah, I hope so.
Quandary Corner here at the GLAP Clinic in Problematic.
First one is from Sarah, who writes, I have a friend who is very dear, generous and kind. We tend to meet up at my home when we see one another every couple of months or so. She was always very complimentary about the house, festive decorations when they're up and so on, which is obviously fine. However, she also invariably goes on to describe our taste as, and I can barely type this as I've come to dislike this word so much, quirky.
Ooh.
There is nothing particularly quirky about our home. No rugs made from extinct species. No artwork from Victorian explorer botanists. Nothing hanging upside down from the ceiling. Just modern, mostly Scandi-style furniture. Ordinary house plants, books, etc. I cringe inside whenever I hear the dreaded word and struggle to keep a neutral face before blirting out a feeble, thank you, whilst feeling then like a terrible person. Suggestions very welcome on how I can make this stop.
Oh, this is really, firstly, it's interesting because when you said, I'm going to be honest with you here, it's Sarah, isn't it?
Mm-hmm.
I'm going to be honest with you here, Sarah. When you said, I wouldn't describe our taste as quirky, I thought, bet it is.
Oh.
Yeah, but then when you described it.
It sounded quite standard.
Yeah. It's very nice and tasteful.
What's weird is this person is feeling the need to comment every time on the... That's a bit weird.
Yes, it is, isn't it?
It might
isn't
be the first time.
I mean, generally, I think the rule with quirky is if you have an awareness that you are being quirky, something is off. Quirkiness should only ever be something that I don't think you could. If you're trying to be quirky,
You can't force quirky.
No, I think the quirkiness is something.
So if you thought I want to do my house kind of like in a quirky style, that would be terrible. But if you just happen to be a little bit eccentric and that's how it manifested, that's fine.
Yeah, it's the same as your personality. You don't want to contrive a quirky personality.
No,
but people might think you're quirky. You might feel completely normal to you. But this doesn't seem to be what's going on with Sarah because the description of the mainly Scandi, tasteful, quite minimalist, modern house. So
I'm getting normal vibes.
What is the friend's name again?
Doesn't say.
Yeah. We need to know about the friend's house. Because what, like maybe her house is really quirky or his house. Like maybe it's got... like a zebra for a zebra for a door knocker, and eels hanging from the ceiling.
Yeah, I don't think I know.
And
I think they're being sarcastic.
A grotto,
it's quirky,
and a miniature golf course.
Right.
I don't. No. What I mean is, so that seems normal to them,
right?
And then your house seems quirky.
No, that's not what's going on.
No?
No, I'm sure of it. I feel like they need to know what quirky means. This is the issue here.
Oh, do you think it's just one of these where...
They're not quite...
They don't know the meaning of the word quirky.
Maybe.
Maybe they think quirky means stylish.
Really? Maybe. Could you get those two words mixed up? Quirky, stylish.
So...
Quirky, a bit different.
There are certain words. Like if someone says, oh, you're so different... It's never not loaded.
No.
And I think quirky's a bit like that, isn't it?
Do you think she's actually insulting her house then a little bit?
Maybe so she doesn't like
it. It's her way of saying, I don't like
She's negging you.
She's negging you. Maybe it's time to ditch this friend who's very dear, generous and kind. Maybe their true side is coming out.
Why don't you get something quirky?
Yes.
Why don't you get a quirky item or even borrow one from someone and put it up for the next time she comes around and see if she remarks on it as being quirky. Then you can get a base level of what her perception of quirkiness is.
Yeah.
So what could that item be?
What would be quirky? Something hanging from the ceiling would definitely be quirky.
Mm-hmm.
What about one of those ropes that you used to have in the like gyms at school? One of those hanging
the
from
apparatus.
The ceiling. Yeah, some apparatus, yeah.
Yeah.
Or maybe, yeah, the horse, but that as like, but with sort of flower garlands around it and tea lights. That's quirky.
The whole thing is peculiar, though. Why is she saying it every time she comes around?
Oh, that's what I said. It's weird.
Yeah.
Something's going on.
Something is going on.
Yeah.
I wonder if she's quite driftery and doesn't know what to say and then just blurts that out.
Oh, I've got it then. As soon as you open the door to her, pass her some conversation cards. Then she'll know what to say. Or just distract her, constantly fire questions at her so she hasn't got... I think she says it in an awkward moment, doesn't she? Because it's the sort of thing you would say in an awkward moment if you're saying it again and again. I think we've got it.
Why don't you go to IKEA with her and see if she says, this place is so quirky.
Yes! Yeah. The answer is there somewhere.
Yes.
Mm. Okay. Was that the first one? That was the first one.
Yeah.
Right. Here's the second
Doesn't feel like it, does it?
No. This is from Joseph. I have a quandary for you. Recently, my 7-year-old son, Gabriel, was invited to a bowling party. Whenever we've taken him to birthday parties in the past, Liz, my wife, or I have stayed with him. He has some slight emotional difficulties, so we generally don't like to leave him on his own. This time, however, he wanted to go himself. So we asked the mum and she said it would be okay to leave him as there were plenty of parents staying. I took him along and saw 4 of the mums that we're friends with and they all said they'd look after him and they all had Liz's number if anything went wrong. He was in a group of 2 lanes with 10 children bowling and lunch was provided. So once he'd settled, I said goodbye, went off to meet Liz and our younger son to sit in a cafe for a bit and do some shopping. When I went to pick him up, one of the 4 mums told me Gabriel was all right, but there had been a bit of an incident with a slushie. When he finished his turn bowling, he saw me and he became a bit upset and said he wanted a slushie. It was the end of the session and Liz was on the way in the car and I knew she had a milkshake for him, but he kept on insisting he really wanted a slushie and everyone else had one. I looked around and there were 5 slushie cups sitting around and several cups of Coke. One of the other 4 mums that had said she would look after Gabriel said, I'm sorry that she'd started all of this when she'd bought her son one. I did my best to placate Gabriel, but he was locked in and for the rest of the day, he would get a bit upset saying he wanted a slushie. On the way home, I asked him if he'd have a Coke instead and he said no. When I asked what he'd had to drink, he said he hadn't had anything. Now, obviously as a drifter, I've said nothing, just quietly fumed about it and made the odd comment to Liz. My quandary is this, should I have said something at the beginning? Having never dropped Gabriel off at a party, what should the etiquette have been? Should I have left some money for him? Or when the mum said they would look after him, should I have mentioned that if they got their kids anything extra, to get one for Gabriel and I'd give them money after? In the past, we've looked after other people's children at parties. If we get something for our children, we would also get something for the other child.
Yeah.
So I didn't think I needed to do anything extra. What should I have done?
Feel this is more your purview than mine. I know we both have a child.
Yes.
But I think you have a more sociable child.
Well, it's very clear to me that this isn't your problem, Joseph.
No.
This is the parents' problem. Yeah. You were in the right. You shouldn't even be writing in. They should be writing in saying,
should.
I made a terrible mistake at a party.
Yes.
I bought my kid a slushie. And even though I was looking after the other kid, I didn't get them one.
Yeah.
If I'm looking after someone else's kid, even keeping an eye on them, and they want something, you just get them one as well, right?
Yes.
Or I might ring the parents and say, is it okay if I give them a slushie? Maybe they don't want them to have a slushie.
Yeah.
He does also say, sorry for making you say the word slushie so much. And I do feel like I said slushie more than I've ever said in my life.
A slushie, it was one of those things that used to seem so exciting.
Oh, I think it's to Liz, to kids. It's to my son because I won't let him have one.
Oh, they're great. You can get them because I think they just always used to be blue or brown,
yes,
right?
Yes.
Maybe red.
Very lurid. But green, maybe.
But now you can get like layers because they've got all the different colours.
Oh,
so you can make a rainbow slushy.
Really?
Yeah, it's fine.
Oh, you're more of a slushy expert than me.
It's because, and do you know what? Jean saw a slushy years ago.
Mm.
and really wanted it. And he got this slushy and I let him have like the biggest, most rainbow coloured slushy you can imagine. And I don't think he's ever wanted one since.
Oh, good idea.
Yeah.
It's like that thing when you give a kid a cigarette and they choke and they don't ever want one ever again.
Yes, he was exactly the same with the cigarettes, actually.
Not that I recommend that, obviously.
Yeah. I suppose the slight difficulty with this is, what if, and it seems unlikely because you thought there'd be somebody there who was like good for the cost of a slushie until you got back.
Mm.
But is it possible that everyone was so broke they couldn't afford a
slushie? Then don't get your own kid a slushie. That would be the rule. If you can't get one for everyone, don't get one for anyone.
Yep. I think everybody who was at that party should have their children impounded by social services.
Yep. And you're doing exactly the right thing, which is by silently fuming.
Yes.
You are in the right in every single way.
Great guy.
Yeah.
And that was our podcast. I really want a slushy now.
Me too, yeah.
It's just syrup and ice, isn't it?
Yeah.
Do you remember there was some kind of homemade slushy toy you could get that I never had? Like some kind of slushy factory slush puppy?
Yeah, like, was it a snowman?
Yes.
Oh, I wanted that so badly.
I want it
badly.
Now. Why has nobody ever bought me one of those?
Oh. That and the Soda Stream.
Yeah.
Well, my life would have been so much better with those two things.
Oh, we had a Soda Stream.
Did you?
Yeah. I think they've come on. I think it used to be quite easy to make the glass bottles explode.
Okay. Well, anything that doesn't do that now has come on.
Yeah. Not having broken glass everywhere has come on in leaps and bounds.
Yeah.
Health and safety gone mad, I call it. Anyway.
Remember when we first like wide in the Soda Stream and it tasted like champagne?
Yeah.
That's enough to make me buy one.
Yeah, that's the big con of champagne, isn't it?
It's just fizzy wines.
So thanks to Man and the Echo for the backing music and to Emily Harrison for the incidental music. Carla Gowlett took our photos. Kim Rainey made our artwork. You know what you're not getting this week? A podication, because there wasn't one.
Nope, it's fine.
You have it your way. We don't mind.
It's fine.
But this is your doing. And if you think an Adrift live show is something you go to, and once again, like, looking at maybe the 18th of February, but that's just a starting opening gambit.
Okay.
Then let us know. The email address is hello@adriftpodcast.com.
Flexibility is great. That's why there's yoga. Flexibility for your insurance coverage is great too. That's why there's United Healthcare Insurance Plans. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, United Healthcare Insurance Plans offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage for medical, vision, dental, and more. One of these plans may be right for you if you're, say, between jobs, coming off your parents' plan, turning a side hustle into a full hustle, or even missed open enrollment. Want more flexibility? Find out more about United Healthcare Insurance Plans at uh1.com.
Imagine the softest sheets you've ever felt. Now imagine them getting even softer over time. That's what you'll feel with Boll & Branch's organic cotton sheets. In a recent customer survey, 96% replied that Boll & Branch sheets get softer with every wash. Start getting your best night's sleep in these sheets that get softer and softer for years to come. Try their sheets with a 30-night guarantee. Plus, get 15% off your first order at bollandbranch.com. Code BUTTERY. Exclusions apply. See site for details.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. Quince.com/style.